Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to United Wrestling Council Radio with your host, Lance Winters. Joining me today is none other than Robbie Phoenix. Today is our partner, Louie, who couldn't make it today due to complications. Please keep them in your hearts, your prayers, and your thoughts. But other than that, Robbie, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing? You all doing good?
Yes, sir. I had a phenomenal weekend. We just celebrated Veterans Day. That leads us to our second guest tonight. We're going to have a veteran come on, share his experience and his time with us. You guys might know him, and if you don't, stay around for the 7:45 mark. Before we get started today, I want to plug a supporter of ours that's been with us from day one. She's got a deal going on this, in regards to the Royal Hawaiian. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is upon us. It may be hard for you to find gifts for people. You may not know what to get people. Well, the Royal Hawaiian herself is having a mystery bag sale going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's $110 value, but you can get it for just $50 plus shipping and handling. Each mystery bag will include a glow or a Royal Hawaiian shirt, an autographed 8x10, and an assorted collectible souvenir. So if you guys want to place an order with the Royal Hawaiian, please hit her up, Instagram, Royal Hawaiian 25, or Facebook Messenger at April Hom. With that being said, let's get into our show. 2 weeks ago, the whole team was out having a good time at Tony Reyes' promotion, 3PWA. And Robbie had some time there. I had some time there. I was a referee. I had a great time there. This was my first time refereeing a Rumble. It was also my first time refereeing a cage match. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. There's a bunkhouse brawl in the main event, and being the green referee that I am out of the bunch, it was my duty to open and close that door, make sure there was one winner, and at the end of the night, that winner was Tony Reyes. Now, I want to give a shout-out to Tony Reyes and 3PWA, because not only are they a wrestling company, but they're a wrestling company that gives back. They worked at the Legion in Cyprus, 215, and together they were able to fundraise not only money for Tony Reyes and his new ring and his supplies and equipment, but they're also to raise money for the Legion itself. And I just want to emphasize how important it is that we take care of our veterans, take care of our community, take care of the fans that, after all, they take care of us. They're the ones who pay the price for the tickets. They get the drinks, the snacks, the funnel cakes we had. So just one shout out I want to give to everybody that was there at 3PWA in Cyprus. Now, Robbie Phoenix had a match.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about how that went with AJ Mana. It was one of the most technical matches of the night. I want to hear it from your perspective.
I lost. I lost. I don't like losing. It was great. I got to admit, though, it was great being back at a 3PWA. I always love performing in front of the veterans. They're so appreciative. And it's funny because they're appreciative of what we're doing. And they're like, man, you guys were great. Thank you for this. And I always say this, like, no, it's thank you guys for what you guys did that allows me to do this. It was great being back there. I wish I would have won. But, you know, that night, AJ Mana was a better man, and I'll admit it. You know, he bested me on that, and he beat me.
Now, nobody likes a loser, but everybody loves someone who has the humbleness and the humility to say, I went out there, gave it my best, and came up short. Most people would bury their opponent. At least I would, you know. But you're a better man than me, Robbie, so I appreciate you coming out there and you know, doing your job, doing the job, which is to perform in front of these, not just fans, not just wrestlers, but like you said, these veterans, these people that paid the price for our freedom every day, you know, and some of them aren't able to be with us, you know, they're probably watching from the heavens. So, like I said earlier, you put on a spectacular match. I enjoyed it. It was, like I said, one of the most technical matches we had on the card. And, you know, there's got to be an AJ Robbie match too in the works, because we got to see you guys run it back, and I'd love to see my friend get the victory.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that, as long as I'm still wrestling and bumping around, there's always that chance of an AJ Robbie. And actually, that's part three. This would be part three, because that was our second match we had. I won the first one. AJ won the second one. So, yeah, we do got to run it back.
Oh, man, I'm even more excited now. It's the rubber match in the making. You know I got you in my corner. Sonya Bot 3000, she's our new AI system that's behind the board. She doesn't talk. We're still putting that program inside of her, but I'm pretty sure if she had a thumb, she'd have two of them up for you. So please keep us in the loop when that match happens. We'd love to support you as a UWC family.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
So it's almost the end of the year. We're getting close to 2024. Is there any other shows that you know of so far that you'll be working in the next month or two?
As of right now, no, I don't have anything scheduled. As you know, the end of the year is coming, holidays are coming, so companies tend to slow down running shows at the end of the year so that, you know, their draws don't dwindle because people don't go because, you know, it's a holiday, so they got to save money for, you know, Christmas presents and whatnot. So a lot of promotions kind of slow down and maybe not even run the rest of the year. And for me, that's kind of good because I get to rest a little bit and get ready for the next year.
That's very true. December is notoriously the most driest season when it comes to independent wrestling. Like you said, a lot of the promoters want to not risk losing the draw because a lot of talent are either visiting family, working for those holiday gifts that they're going to be giving out. So it's very understandable that not much is happening in the next month or two. But next week, actually, ladies and gentlemen, the United Wrestling Council is getting together to have a little meeting to discuss the next UWC show. And it's going to be in 2024. We're not going to pull a Christmas special on you guys, but we will have something for you. And hopefully by next week, I'll be able to report a date, maybe report a talent. But for right now, just stay tuned to UWC Radio. Shout-outs to Manny. Everybody knows the council head himself, Manny, having a good time behind the scenes, always listening in, ready to give you guys the best wrestling we can. And with that being said, let's just hope for the best. Hope that I don't get fired for my past indiscretions we don't need to bring up right now. But shout-out to Manny. Yeah, you know, I don't want to air out my dirty laundry, but I also want to take accountability for the things I've done. I screwed over some wrestlers in my time as a referee at UWC. And, I'm just hoping 2024 is a clean start.
I think we should have a show just on that. Just you airing out your dirty laundry on what you've done.
Oh, no. That would be a two-part, maybe even a three-part special, because I don't think an hour would be able to write my sins and expose everything I've done wrong. But I will say this, everything that I've done wrong has helped me shape me into the right man I am today. So, you know, I'm kind of glad I had those indiscretions, as bad as that may sound. You know what I mean?
No, hey, we live and we learn, right? We make mistakes and we learn from them. That's what makes us better. If you don't learn from them, that's what doesn't make you better, actually.
Exactly. And you've been in the business longer than I have, so let's not talk about putting me on a show. We'll put you on a special and see what you've done wrong. You know, that's why I don't like to point the finger at people, because the finger comes right back to your boy, you know, and I don't want to
air that out. I understand. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, most of my career, yes, I've been a good guy, but yeah, there was some dark days in my career where Robbie wasn't the most honest.
That's the most beautiful part about this wrestling business, is the growth and evolution, you know. I'm not the same gentleman I was 5 years ago when I started out, and I'm probably not going to be this guy in the next 5 years because, you know, different venues, different promotions, you grow, you change, you adapt, you've adapted the most over the last decade. You know, the scene changed from when you started out to where it is now. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, talking about how wrestling's changed so far, and it's only going to make us better. And when we have a team that can take accountability, a team that, you know, Robbie pulls me to the side and say, hey, you shouldn't have done it that way. Maybe try it like this next time. It definitely helps me grow, helps Robbie grow. He's a trainer after all. He's only looking out for my best interest. So as a team, we're stronger through our failures. And I hate to say we have failures, but if you don't say you have failures, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to the fans. We can't have
exactly.
that. So in a couple minutes, we're going to have our first commercial break. When we get back, we're going to have our guest, Kayam. He's going to jump on. We're going to have a little talk about his match at 3PWA, going up against the Lizard King, and all the fun times he had in that bunkhouse brawl. And even after the bunkhouse brawl, he had a little confrontation with AJ Mana, but we'll speak about that soon. After we have that, we're also going to go over Halloween Havoc Night 2. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're a little behind, but I want to catch up on this show because I think this two-week special was very important for the growth of NXT and the direction it's going to be heading into. If you guys don't know, NXT recently signed a contract with the CW Network. So starting in September next year, you can catch all your wrestling favorites on the CW. Now, that channel is more localized than the USA Network, so it's going to bring more eyes to the product, hopefully bring in new fans. And I'm just excited personally because I believe NXT is my favorite out of SmackDown, Raw, NXT, because you get to see the future of WWE. You get to see the future SmackDown champions, the future women's wrestlers. And I just think it's awesome that they're getting more exposure on a broader network. It sucks because at the cost of another promotion, NWA, but at the same time, I believe NWA will learn from those mistakes and what they posted and move forward in the right direction. What do you feel about that, Robbie?
Yeah, you know, that was a, you know, a huge shot in the foot that they shot themselves with. You know, it didn't need to happen. It wasn't any storyline. It wasn't really important to the show at all. That didn't need to happen. And because of that, yeah, they lost their deal with the WB. Or the CW,
It's just, yes, sir. The CW Network. You guys can find that channel on your local listings. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see the direction of that. And like we talked about earlier, sometimes you make mistakes. All we can do is hope to learn from the mistakes, and I hope NWA learns from those mistakes because, like you said, it wasn't involved in a storyline. It didn't have any meaning. And if I'm perfectly honest, it's tasteless.
Exactly.
I perform as a heel whenever – yeah.
You know, it was just one of those things that it just looked like they wanted a cheap pop or something.
Yes, and you can't really have a cheap pop like that when there's no – like you said, there's no build-up. There's no story behind it. It's just like, ooh, look at this. And looks like they're going to have to go back to the drawing board in terms of getting a new station to be aired on. They missed a big opportunity. NWA has been around for a very long time. And even AEW is considered the number two brand of wrestling. And some would even say Impact is number three. So that would have given the NWA a chance to work its way back up to the top three promotions, but that's a discussion for another day, I believe. And
yep.
Like we said earlier, all we can hope for is that they learn from this, grow from this in 2024, and make better decisions. Before we head to our break, Robbie, I just want to ask, how do you feel about the Impact brand going back to TNA as of January 2024? Do you have any opinions on that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great idea. I was interested and I liked it when it was TNA. When they kind of changed the Impact, it kind of just seemed like it kind of just got bland. I don't want to say boring, but it got bland and there wasn't really anything going on. You know, so yeah, going back to that old TNA, I think it'll be a good shot in the arm for them and hopefully, you know, it'll create something better for them.
Yeah, so I'm hoping so, too. Better than when it switched to Global Force Wrestling for a while. You know,
yeah.
When you go through all these brand changes, it's very hit or miss if the people are going to pick up on it. But over the last few years, people are still chanting TNA, TNA. So hopefully we'll get some more total nonstop action. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have our first guest of the night, Kayam. Stay tuned.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to United Wrestling Council Radio. This is UWC Radio Live on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to give Kayam a call right now. We're going to have our first guest of the evening. And as we get him on the line, I just want to say, make sure you check out WOW. WOW. Hello, is this Kayam?
Yes, yes, sir. This is Kayam from Los Chivos.
Welcome to the program, sir. You're on UWC Radio Live with Lance Winters and our man Robbie Phoenix. How are you doing? How's your band? How's your week?
Phoenix and Lance.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Chivo, Kayam.
What's up, my brother? It is so good to hear from you two guys, Lance and the great Robbie Phoenix. Yes, sir.
It's good to hear from you, my brother.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And, hey, let's get it on, man. Let's talk about all this stuff that's coming up.
Perfect. Well, we'll start off with the past, because the last time we actually all shared some time together was at 3PWA in Cyprus. And I just wanted to get your thoughts about your match. We all know how it went down. I had to jump in. I tried to make a move. I thought you won. Our other senior official ref thought the Lizard King won. What was going on in your head before that indecisive pinfall? How was the match with you and Lizard King?
Well, it was hard fought. It was a very, very intense match, because this kid, boy, he has very good training. And the kid is very resourceful. And we're well conditioned, so we had a very, very good match, and but I felt I had it was going my way, because I took him in a suplex from the corner suplex, and as we landed, I immediately hooked him with the legs, and as I hook him, I'm holding on to one leg, so obviously my shoulder's up, and the ref counts. And he declares it a draw. I go, wait a minute, how's that possible? And, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the kid, because he's a very, very good wrestler. My respect to him. But I beat him. I beat him right there. And the only good thing is that we both qualified for the Battle Royal. I mean, I thought that decision was fantastic from that legend that was there on that evening. And I think he did the right thing. He made the right decision. We both advanced, but it was one heck of a match, I'll tell you.
Yes, sir. And you know, I don't want to be biased or anything, but I think my three count, which declared you the winner, was the right one. I don't think you both needed to go in the cage, because you were the rightful winner from where I was standing. If you weren't there, the referee, you know, he took a bump, he went down, and it was time to count the pin. the fans were going 1, 2, 3. They almost counted to 20, and I decided, you know what? I may be the rookie referee, but this is a call I have to make. So I came into the ring, split in nice and smooth, counted 1, 2, 3. Little did I know, the ref that was knocked out was on the other side of me counting for the Lizard King. So I'm very grateful that – I'm sorry?
Yeah, you did the right thing, Lance. You came in, and so once one ref comes in, the other referee is pretty much canceled, you see. So he really he's done for the night. I mean, he can't count also for his guy and then declare him the winner. I mean, it was just confusing, but oh well, those things happen. Our business, that's the name of the game. There's no sense in harping about this forever and ever. I just know that Lizard King is one heck of a wrestler, and next time I step into the ring with him, I have to pick it up a step and make it nice and clear, the defeat for him, because I want none of this happening again. And God willing, very soon we'll hook up again, because like I said, the kid's a good wrestler. He is a good wrestler, my respects.
Yes, he definitely is. You guys are so good. Thankfully to D'Lo Brown making the announcement, you guys are both eligible for the Bunkhouse Brawl. Tell me about how that felt, being in that cage.
Oh, man, that was one of the most intense match cages I've had in a long time. All the participants were just as hungry. I could see it in their eyes. I could see it in their movements in there, and everybody was going for the gold. And these guys that were set up that cage match, the whole card actually was just from the beginning, from the first belt to the Donnie Ray's taking the belt, but just one heck of an event. But that cage match was very, very much intense. I was looking for Robbie all night long in that cage, and I never found him.
Yeah, I had to take the early night off because AJ beat me to advance.
Okay, all right. Yeah, but, I mean, geez, everybody in there, they were going at 100 miles an hour, and there was blood and sweat and tears, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, but, it was. I saw that.
Yes.
Speaking of AJ Mana, after the match, you and him kind of got into an altercation. He tried removing your mask. What was that about? Do you guys have any current or any past beef or discretion, or was it just something that happened in the ring that got you guys upset with each other?
Well, first of all, we've had matches in the past, sure. And what happened here, he shot me to the door, but I reversed him. And I mean, when I reversed him, he went flying through the door. He went flying through the door, and I don't know what went through my head. I thought of going out on a dive on him, and so as I jumped out, the ref says, "You're done. You're out of here." What the? You know, it's those things that at the heat of the moment you do things sometimes. But once I was on when I was on him, I made the mistake of turning to the ref and saying, what? And DJ just took me down and went for the mask, which is already, it was already loose. It was already loose. I had suffered, I was busted up on the right side of my head. So it was already loose. So he just went for it. And man, it was seconds, but to me it seemed like hours that we were grappling down there around the people and stuff like that. This guy's the real deal. And of course, Phoenix will attest to that. This guy's the real deal. And so, man, this guy can grapple, and we're down there, and I'm just trying to hold on to my mask for dear life, you know? This guy's nuts.
Yeah.
This guy's really, really intense.
Well, hopefully you can get some retribution on AJ Mana in the future. I know it's completely disrespectful and dishonorable to try to remove a luchador's mask. That's your legacy. You're keeping the legacy of the Chivo family name going strong.
Yeah.
And, yeah, hopefully AJ gets a little taste of his own medicine sometime soon, because that was unprofessional, in my opinion.
It will happen. Things will happen, I believe, somewhere down the line. I believe I have a scheduled match against AJ. I have my hands full right now. Have a little feud going here and there and there, and so but we're working out real hard, very intensely, to be prepared for these hard matches, man. Because these companies here in Southern California, these companies have very good wrestlers, man. Very, 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 very talented wrestlers. And right now you're sitting next to one of them, Robbie. These guys are talented wrestlers. Not too long ago, we had another elimination match over here with Chaz Herrera in San Bernardino, and we went to the final, Phoenix and I. And that was a tough match. That was tough. And he beat me fair and square. I have no regrets, none at all. I congratulated him. And I mean but that says a lot about the companies that are running shows here in Southern California. And who benefits? The fans. The fans will always benefit with all these great companies bringing in guys that know what they're doing up there. And that is so important that the fans appreciate a well-rounded wrestler he's Mexican wrestler. No, he's American. That doesn't go. He's a professional wrestler. And a professional wrestler, we've wrestled, my brother and I, we've got against Russians, we've got against Japanese, Australians. It doesn't matter. We don't speak the language, but the international language are the holds and the true grit inside the ring.
Exactly.
Okay, more with that.
Yes.
Tell him, Robbie. Sorry.
No. I was just saying that's exactly right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Kayam.
Yeah.
The fans that benefit from this, and we don't speak the language. You know, like I said, I've been around the world as well. And you don't speak the language, but you get in there, and everyone knows the wrestling language.
Yes.
So, Kayam, one last question with you. I was talking with AJ Mana, and I was talking with Robbie Phoenix about it's winding down, it's the end of the year. I just wanted to know if you had any shows scheduled, if you have any more matches planned for the end of the year, or if you're just going to train and get ready for 2024. Do you have anything coming up?
Yes, I have a match coming up on December 10th in Florence and Maine. It's the International Arena Cup number 2. Last year I was fortunate enough to win that cup. Last year I won that cup, and this is the second year that they're going to be having that. That's in honor of that traditional and legendary venue. Arena Internacional, the international arena. And so we're there on the 10th, and I'm really looking forward to that match. I'm defending the cup. It's actually three battle royals. And then each battle, it's four participants in each battle royal. And then the winner of each match was at the end in a three-way. And so that has me fired up, and that has me very motivated, and it's coming up before you know it. This month is flying by. And so we're working real hard on that. And then Lucha Libre Alliance, we start off real big on January 7th, January 7th, 2024 at the Metroplex. And that's going to also be a very, very tough match. I have a match against Rudo Ram. This guy came out of nowhere. This guy just came out of nowhere. And, boy, he's been a thorn on my side, I'll tell you. And so I have that match. And then after that, I believe I have, in February, I have Mana And so these are tough matches that thankfully that we're in the gym. We're very, very close, always working hard in the gym and getting ready for these combats, because these guys go up there shooting grenades at you, man. These guys, as the years go by, they don't get any softer, man. They get rougher and rougher. Yeah. But that keeps you sharp. That keeps you going. That's what this is all about. You know, there's no soft. I'll never forget that one time I had that match. I forget where it was, against big guy, Chaz Herrera. And he scooped me up. Yeah, he scooped me up and he gave me a slam, and I don't know how I felt that slam, but I got up and I yelled at him, "Give it to me hard, you son of a!" And he said, and he got me and whammed and he slammed me. But the fans loved it, and it's because that's the way it is. There is no soft blows. There's no soft bumps. When you're with the Chivos, it's hard all the way, man. It's to the limit. We push it to the limit. My brother and my dad always push it to the limit.
I can attest to that, man. Every time I wrestled the Chivos, I knew it was a fight. I actually would always tape up my wrist a little extra because I knew we were going to fight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what it's about. Yes, sir. And this Rudo Ram guy, he caught me with a kendo stick the last time, and I didn't see him coming, and he let me have it. And it was Jawad and I. We were going for the tag team titles against Hades and Maligno, the current champs. And I lost the match because he caught me real good. And since then, I've been hunting this fool down. And I have him on January 7th in the Metroplex. Rudo Ram, that's a nutty guy right there.
Oh, yeah, I've had to pull you guys apart a couple of times in the last couple of months. He really is a crazy guy. I'm very excited to hear that you have your next few months planned out. Keeping it Chivo strong, you know, staying in the gym, staying up to date, because
absolutely.
January is right around the corner.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm just flying. It is. That's no cliche. It's a fact. It is time fly, and you better be ready. You better be ready, because these guys, like I tell you, they're the real McCoy. All of these young guys coming up, some not so young, but those sometimes are the most dangerous because of the experience. But that's what it's all about, brother, just working out, pumping iron, and grappling in the ring, and just working hard, man. And it's a double-edged sword, because when you work out in the ring, those workouts, I mean, they take their toll on your body. I mean, that's just the way it is, because it's our sport is like that. That's the nature of our sport. It's a physical, very, very, very physical sport. So those workouts take their toll, but they're absolutely necessary. You have no business in the ring if you're not training properly.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Well, before we let you get out of here, I want to thank you again for coming on with us. You've always been a pleasure. I could talk to you for a whole hour.
But before
you go, can you let us know where they can find you on social media so they could plan their next wrestling show around you, so we can have the fans come out and support you?
Yeah, you can look in Instagram under Lucha Libre Alliance and in Facebook under Los Chivos. You can't go wrong either way. I believe TikTok is the same thing.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you again for being on. I hope to talk to you soon, and hope you have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Chivo Power forever. All right, my brothers. God bless.
Take care,
God bless.
Okay, bro. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our special guest for the evening, Kayam. We'll be right back after a short message.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next time. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
Welcome back to UWC Radio. That's right, United Wrestling Council Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. We just had our first guest, Kayam. He's a great man. Me and Robbie can talk to him for the whole hour, but unfortunately, you know, we'll just have to set up another date with him. Before we move along, I just want to remind everybody, a nice little honest plug. If you're looking for a gift this holiday season, don't know what to get, you want to support one of your favorite legends in the wrestling business, well, I got some good news for you. The Royal Hawaiian is giving out mystery bags. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Mystery bags filled with goodies. It's $50 plus shipping and handling. The value is over $100. Each mystery bag will include a glow or Hawaiian t-shirt, an autographed 8x10, and an assortment of collectible souvenirs. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. Supplies are limited, so please place your order before they're sold out. In order to contact her, you can DM her on Instagram at RoyalHawaiian25, Facebook at AprilHom, or you can email her yourself at AprilHom25@gmail.com. Robbie, it's such a great time talking to Kayam, isn't it?
Always. It's always a great time talking to him. I mean, even in the locker rooms, we could spend hours after the show just sitting there talking and just, man, it's always a great time talking with him.
Yeah, she's definitely given me some wisdom, some tips. You know, he helped me get my new shoes, or not shoes, I'm sorry, my new pants. I don't know if you saw my last referee pants, but a little 2 inches too short. Looked like I was wearing high waters, and he gave me the advice, make sure you get bigger pants. That way when you have your pads on under your pants, it doesn't rise up your pants. So now I'm form-fitted. I'm official. I'm looking like a great referee.
Yeah, you did. You did look official that night. I'll say that.
Thank you, sir. Moving on now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to review Halloween Havoc Night 2. And boy, did it kick off with an explosive tag team match. It was Tables, Ladders, and Scares. It was the Creed Brothers versus Angel and Humberto. Were you able to watch that match, Robbie?
I did. And, man, that was a great match. That was a really, really great match. Both teams were strong. But, man, just they went all out, and I dug it. I really dug it. For the story that they were telling, I really was interested in watching that whole match.
Yes, and I never want to shame opening matches, but that's how opening matches should be. High impact, very strong, get the crowd invested to what's to come next. This could have been the main event, you know, but we got a treat as it opened up. It told a great story between the Creeds, Angel and Humberto. But at the end of the day, the Creeds picked up that victory, and, man, are they ever impressive.
Yes, they are. I mean,
next
these guys are really impressive.
Yeah, it definitely helped Angel and Humberto. They didn't win, but they were able to showcase so much of their talent. It kept me on the edge of my seat the whole time. Up next, we had a match that was scheduled between Tiffany Stratton and Fallon Henley. But as you know, you're watching, the match didn't take place. Tiffany Stratton ended up jumping Fallon Henley. Henley was over here trying to be cute, trying to be funny. It was the Halloween season when Henley dressed up as Tiffany Stratton. That's a big no-no in Tiffy's book. And then on top of that, to mock her and say that she looked better as Tiffany than Tiffany did, I would understand why Stratton came out. Just, you know, beat the brakes off this woman. They had the referees had to pull them apart. So this match was a no contest. However, they will be fighting very soon. It's got to be, as you say, we got to run it back. So I believe that's happening tonight. We'll tune in for that and report next week. Next up was my favorite segment. I don't know why. It wasn't a wrestling match, but it was the Metaphor Cupcase. You had the team of Metaphor dressed up as the Scooby-Doo gang, and they were looking for Noam Dar's precious cup, you know, and dressed up as Scooby-Doo. How'd you like that, that little segment that was weaved in between the show?
I mean, I really do like that. Like, I'm a big fan of Scooby-Doo, and so is my girlfriend. And so it was. It's just one of those things where, anytime anyone does a Scooby-Doo thing, I'm all for it.
Yeah, we had Super Scared Noam Dar. Throughout the show, there are different segments, but in the end, it was Akira Tozawa who had the cup, and in order to get his cup back, he had to guarantee Akira Tozawa a chance at the cup, you know, and being the scared little Scooby-Doo that he was, he agreed. They left the house, and it wasn't wrestling, but it was great entertainment, you know what I mean? They didn't have to do anything, you know, like NWA did that was, you know, untasteful and had no story behind it. They told a story throughout the show, and I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you did, too.
Yeah, no, like, I like that, man. Like, when you can tell a story on your segment without, you know, without the wrestling, you know, it's great. It's entertaining. It gives you that a good entertaining break in between the wrestling, and that's what I like.
Yes, sir. It delivered very well, which led to our next match. Dirty Dominic Mysterio. And may I say, he was dressed up like a felon. That's his new Halloween costume. I wouldn't want to relive one of my scariest times in my life, you know what I mean? But he came out in the jailer outfit, you know, the black and white stripes, going up against Nathan Frazier for the NXT North American Championship. How did you like that match?
I liked that, man. It was a good match. I just wish it could have gone a little bit longer. But it was a good match all in all.
Yeah, it definitely did its job highlighting both the superstars. Again, this is a moment where Dom can show that he doesn't need the Judgment Day behind him to carry a good match. And despite the ending, it could have been a little longer, but definitely enjoyable to see Dirty Dom pick up another win against Nathan Frazier. This next match was a little, I guess you can already tell who's going to win by it. But we have Bron Breakker going up against Mr. Stone. And, yeah, that's one of those matches where, oh, I know it's going to happen. But
yep.
What nobody expected to happen was the end when you had him come back with a brain. He had a brain surgery, or Von Wagner had a brain injury going on, a skull fracture, something of the likes. And he ended up coming out to save Mr. Stone from the same incident. Now, my only problem with that is I feel like they should have stretched out a little longer. I believe Von Wagner was only out for like a couple weeks. They could have, you know, stretched it out so when he came back, it would have been a bigger impact. What do you think about that match and that situation?
The same thing. I think they could have stretched that out a little bit longer just to give Von Wagner a bigger comeback. You know, when they were building into this, even when I was watching before, you know, building up into this match, you know, I kind of knew that, yeah, Von Wagner would come back, you know, that night. But I actually thought he was going to come out sooner. I actually thought that he was going to come out even before the match and actually wrestle Bron Breakker. But, no, I liked how they did it where, you know, his friend was getting beat up and, he lost the match. And then the same thing was going to happen to him, and he came and helped him.
Yeah, perfect storytelling. We both agree it could have been a little longer between Vaughn coming back, but it is what it is. Next up, we have for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven versus Thea Hale and JC Jane. Now, last week, we didn't expect Chase University to walk out with the Tag Team Championships. That's just something that was unpredicted. We all voted against it, and we were all thoroughly surprised. How did you feel about this match going down?
It was kind of weird for me. Cause it just, I don't know how they thought of it when they booked it, but it just seemed kind of like it was a thing just thrown together.
Yes.
I would have liked some more build up to that. But I see where they were going. Where Chase, you guys had won, so now, you know, let's give the girls of the group a chance. And, you know, I understand the story they're still trying to tell where, you know, girls trying to cheat and he's saying we don't do that and, you know, the back and forth thing. But I just think this match was kind of thrown together, though.
Yeah, it definitely could have had a better build to it. It kind of felt pushed together, but we understand it. We had to have WWE talent on the show like we did last week, and having the women's tag champs, you know, it gave them a chance for exposure, you know, it gave them a chance to be in the NXT arena and give the fans something new to look at. So it had its up and downs, but something that really had big ups was the women's breakout final, where Lola Vice cashed in and became the NXT women's breakout champion. She went up against Kehlani Jordan, someone who's very new to the business, someone who rose through the tournament all the way to the finals, but she just couldn't pick up the win at the end. How do you feel about that match?
That was actually a really good match. Like you said, you know, this one girl who's, you know, really not really experienced in NXT, but she moved up her way. But she showed her talent that night, and she showed that what she can do, which, you know, in the future can hopefully work out for her.
Yes, sir. Hope to see more from Kehlani Jordan in the next couple months, the next couple years. She's definitely someone you want to keep an eye on, because I do believe she'll make it to the main event roster, whether it be SmackDown or Raw. But until then, we have our main event, which was for the NXT Championship. Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, 3. This had much of a build, almost as much as you and AJ Mana going for your third match. Ilya Dragunov, though, was able to retain. And what are your thoughts about how this match built up to their third and rubber match, and all your opinions on it?
Again, it was a great way to tell this story. This was one of those matches where when these guys came in, you weren't sure who was going to win. You know, you had the Carmelo, you know, the Carmelo fans who were like, he's going to win. You know, you had Dragunov fans like, he's going to win. And honestly, if you weren't a fan of any of them, and I'm a fan of both of them, so I didn't pick a winner, mostly because I didn't know who was going to win. But, man, when these guys went out there, I mean, they delivered. And that's, honestly, as soon as that match was over, the first words out of my mouth was, that's a champion. That was a championship match.
Yes, sir. It was quite amazing to see. Now that's a build, you know what I mean? They've had a rivalry for about the better half of 9 months now, and it really did show the stakes of a rubber match. Like you said, you had half the crowd for Ilya, half the crowd for Hayes. You didn't know who was going to win. I didn't know who was going to win, but now we all know Ilya Dragunov has that 2-1 on Carmelo Hayes. And, we'll have to see what happens next, ladies and gentlemen. But until then, we're going to take one more commercial break and have our second guest of the evening. Stay tuned.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Paul's Photo. Make sure you check out Paul's Photo. It's the greatest spot to get your photos taken. It's a great spot to learn how to take photos. It's also a place where you can shop for supplies so you can be the next best photographer. That's Paul's Photos, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check them out. But right now, we're going to give a call to our second guest. He's a veteran. He's a man that's been on the mic plenty of times. He's the golden voice of Southern California, Mike Martinez.
Hello.
Hello, Mike. Are you here? Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. You're coming in loud and clear.
Awesome. Welcome to UWC Radio. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. It's your boy Lance Winters. You knew that. But I'm also joined by Robbie Phoenix. How are you doing today? You're doing well, buddy? How are you doing over there?
I'm doing great. I don't know if you're talking to me or Robbie.
Oh, no. We're introducing you, boss, man. I've been talking to Robbie for the last hour.
Oh, man, okay, my bad, my bad. Yeah, I just got home from the shoot job. So it's been a lovely night so far.
Awesome. I wanted to bring you on because obviously you're a dear friend of mine. You've been on the show multiple times this year. But recently we just had, you know, Veterans Day, and I wanted to plug a veteran, someone that I know, someone that I care, someone who can share a little bit of their story. And the first thought I thought of was Triple M himself. So if you don't mind talking to the crowd, letting everybody know a little bit about your service and what that means to you.
Yeah, I'll get into that, but real quick, I know I've got some friends listening at Temecula Valley Buick GMC, so I just want to give a shout-out to my buddies that are tuning in down there. My military service runs deep in my family. So on my mother's side, my grandpa Rudy served in World War II. My Uncle Joe, her brother, was in the Arizona National Guard, and my mother was in the Air Force. On my dad's side, my father was a 1st Recon Marine, Sergeant Joseph R. Martinez, 1st Recon Division of 1st MARDIV, out of Camp Reasoner. He was in Vietnam in 1971. My Uncle Mike, my Uncle Andy served in the Airborne in Vietnam. My Uncle Henry was long-range reconnaissance patrol with the Army and the 3rd Infantry Division. So I've actually lived a privileged life to be around so many veterans. I mean, I can even dig up pictures with General Westmoreland, who was the 4-star general in charge of the operations in Vietnam, holding me as an infant. It's funny, though, because a lot of people in my family were very upset with me when I joined. They didn't want me to. They wanted me to go to college. I'm very gifted with computers, or I used to be back in the day. But considering our lineage, I just thought it would be awesome. I served in the United States Army National Guard as a nuclear biological chemical warfare specialist. It's a very intense job. Part of the training is you're in a live hot chamber with VX nerve agent. Actually exposed to small doses of radiation, deemed safe levels of radiation, to learn how to detect, decontaminate, and react to a chemical, nuclear, or biological environment. I was attached with the 1st 144 Field Artillery Battalion and acted as their NDC specialist. I exited the Army as an E-4 specialist with an honorable discharge. And I got to tell you, it was a fantastic Veterans Day weekend between celebrating the Marine Corps birthday on Friday and then celebrating Veterans Day with, you know, a show that I was on in Orange County.
Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that. I didn't know that the family lineage ran so deep. I knew your father served, but I didn't know just how deep the roots were in your family. So I want to personally on the air say thank you for everything you've done. And thank you for everything your family's done, man. I'm really, really happy to know you as a man and know that all the struggles and all the hardships you went through to protect our country. So thank you for that, man. I really do appreciate it.
You know, I appreciate that, Robbie and Lance. But to be fair, I was in the rear with the gear. I was in a support capacity. The real heroes are the men and women that made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. Either by, you know, serving in combat, getting injured, or, you know, making the ultimate sacrifice and laying down their lives for freedom. I'm very humble about my service because I just did my enlistment. You know, I just wanted to try to make my family proud. But like I said, my father was active duty Marine Corps, 1st Recon in Vietnam, and he was hit with an RPG. If you don't know what an RPG is, it's a rocket-propelled grenade. If you ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, that's the shoulder-fired rocket that hit the back of the propeller, or made most famous by Rambo. But he suffered 21 shrapnel wounds from the waist down, and he was near the Laotian border. 1st Recon is a very specialized unit within the Marine Corps. It's actually noted as the first special forces unit the United States military ever conceived. And you would expect nothing less from the oldest military branch in the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah.
I love to hear it, man. And you want to discredit yourself and say you're behind the lines, but you are still there. So I just still want to give you your flowers. I know others have sacrificed more, but you've sacrificed enough. Like you said, bioengineer with the chemical warfare, that's something I wouldn't have the stones to do, you know. So I want to salute you for that. When you first told me about that, I was like, no freaking way. Is this man like risking his life with the radiation and all the possibilities that could have happened?
That's why, like, a lot of people wondered why I was so just, like, calm throughout the pandemic environment. It's because it was my specialty. It's what I was trained in. If you ever want to defend yourself against any biological agent, hot, soapy water. I mean, steaming hot, soapy water. Kill those germs. Wash your hands frequently.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. A hot tip from Mike Martinez himself. So I spoke to you last time we hung out at 3PWA.
Yeah, that was a great show.
It was cool to see you.
Yeah, it was great. I was amazed by Robbie Phoenix and AJ Mana's match. Very technically sound wrestlers, both of them.
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro.
You know, Robbie and I have had our conversations. I've done a little observing of training under Robbie. Robbie's very experienced. He's one of these veterans of the craft that if you watch him, and I mean really watch the nuances in his match, you can see the mastery and the artistry that he's putting on in his performance. It's incredible to watch a Robbie Phoenix match.
Man, thank you very much, man. That's I appreciate that.
And, you know, he's one of the most handsome fellas to come out of East L.A. I just got to state that for the record.
Yeah, there's that, too.
But, yeah, 3PWA, great show. I was amazed by your wrestling, man.
Thank you, man. You know, you put in the work and you can see the results. You know, I never doubted myself. I knew I was tested and trained well. You know, I like to thank my mentors and the people who put me on. And, it felt really good to talk to you and have that input you gave me during intermission, during after the show. And, you know, we talk about stuff other than wrestling. Is it okay if I put it on air, what's been going on with our buddy Hansel?
Yeah, let's get to it. Because it is a topic, especially with the holidays coming up. I'm getting a lot of friends, family members, fans, wrestling associates that, you know, are inquiring about where we're at with the Hansel podcast. Especially since, you know, we had a show coming to get you. And again, I want to thank everybody involved in with helping that show be as successful as it was, from, you know, Valor Pro Wrestling, Content Mania, Amped Up Wrestling, Versus Wrestling Studio in Las Vegas, and Relentless Pro Wrestling. I want to thank you, Lance, and United Wrestling Council, because you guys did have us on to help promote and bring awareness to the Hansel situation, so I greatly appreciate you. Since that show, we did have a court date. And at that court date, the judge did what he felt was morally correct by granting my girlfriend the custody of Hansel, full custody at this point of Hansel. He also issued an order of return and an Amber Alert order. Now, the Amber Alert order is a formality. We were, at that point, the Amber Alert was not going to go all across the network, but it's something that's needed to compel the Mexican government. As soon as they see that Amber Alert, due to the Hague Convention, which at a point was working against us, but is now working for us, that's one of the prerequisites for that warrant in Mexico to go out. So right now it's with the Attorney General's office here in California. Unfortunately, there was a backlog of 4 weeks, and it has been 4 weeks since the paperwork was submitted to the Attorney General's office. So from the update we got from the District Attorney's office today, it should be a couple days before they get to the paperwork. It being Wednesday, I'm going to follow back up with them on Monday. So that's where we are in the legal process. And the goal is to get the Mexican government to acknowledge the paperwork and issue the warrant through the Hague Convention. At that point, they can partner with us here in the U.S. and the U.S. Marshals, and or the FBI will have authorization to go in yet. We're not there yet, so we're waiting to get there. Okay? Again, once the whole situation's resolved, I'm going to pull back the curtain on the other side of it because there are details I can't release at this time. I'm not trying to, you know, be mysterious or any way or shape or form, but there are some details that can't be released because, one, it's an ongoing investigation. All I can say is this, is I have two trains on two different tracks heading in the same direction, okay? And one train needs to get there so the other train can pick up and take over. I'll be more candid about it after the situation is resolved, because once again, it's an ongoing investigation. Certain details on it aren't able to be released. On the flip side of it, we were informed that the West Covina Police Department case for his missing persons was closed due to how long it took some of the paperwork to get and the district attorney more focusing on the child abduction and retrieval part. We have been advised by the district attorney's office child abduction case that we can go to the West Covina office and request for that case to be reopened and then be resubmitted to the DA's office for criminal consideration, because this part of it I can talk about, that it was a criminal conspiracy to take Hansel. It was very well thought out. It was planned and it was orchestrated from beginning to end. The fact that certain people involved were also put in a type of guardianship role of Hansel. What I mean is you know, when you've seen myself, my girl and Hansel together, right?
Yes, sir.
And so as a stepfather, I have certain guardianship or steward duties to him as a parental figure. So Felipe does have a girlfriend, okay? And she was very instrumental in this plot by having her mother call the Ontario Police Department, not having the full story, by making it appear it was a lover's quarrel between her and Felipe so the police wouldn't be so interested. The fact that they went to go pick up Hansel in a vehicle that was not Felipe's for two reasons. One, he didn't want to be seen on police property driving a car when he has a DUI warrant. Two, it's because they added a roof rack and filled that GTI Golf with luggage and what they were going to need to travel to Mexico. Okay. She admits to having lunch with Felipe, his partner that picked him up, and her all had lunch and then left to go their separate ways. Felipe's car was left at the CVS pharmacy, one exit past where the Ontario police station is. So it was orchestrated. The fact that his girlfriend made it a point to go to my girlfriend's family to get our attention. The fact that his girlfriend was there at Ontario Police Department before we got there the day we're supposed to pick up Hansel for the return. There's just too many coincidences for it to be a coincidence.
Oh, man. That is a lot.
Yeah.
And what is going from a possible... Sorry, go for it.
Yeah. And it, what's alarming to me is one of the individual that drove Felipe to pick up Hansel is involved in youth sports in the area of Azusa. Okay. I'll be honest, we did a lot of investigating on our own. We did a lot of investigating on our own. I want to thank Cherie from the RAD movement in San Diego because she was the one that got a confirmation from ICE and Border Patrol what time, what location, what crossing. They crossed that in San Diego to go into Mexico. Due to our investigation, we found an address of the hotel he was at in Mexico. We've given the authorities his mother's address, his sister's address, and his father's address in Mexico. He's actually not far from the United States Embassy in Mexico. He's but a few blocks from the airport, the Best Buy, the Walmart, and the embassy. So that should tell you guys that though we've been miles apart, we have kept our eyes on the situation as closely as we can. Part of the reason why the judge granted the order is because he went on to the website Talking Parents. Any of you parents out there that are divorced, separated, or are at odds with the other parent, know what Talking Parents is. It's a website that the court dictates you guys communicate through so they can monitor the communication to make sure they're not abusive or, you know, offhand in any way. We did send all the legal documents through Talking Parents, and he logged into Talking Parents, and he read those documents. So digitally, he was on American soil, so technically he got there. So, and like I said, now the ball's rolling. And if for some reason this broadcast makes its way into Mexico City to anybody who knows Felipe, we don't want him to go to jail. We don't want him to get hurt. We just want Hansel back. Okay? We just want Hansel back. He can bring him to TJ, or it's as simple as him taking Hansel to the United States Embassy, where we already have a plan in place for somebody to care for Hansel at the embassy because one of my cousins works for the embassy.
Man, it sounds like Felipe dug himself into a pretty deep hole thinking he was nice and slick, and thanks to the due diligence of everybody involved, it seems like you guys are slowly but surely funneling him into a corner where he can't back out of, in a situation he can't avoid any further. I'm very happy to hear this update.
I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt because, one, he is Hansel's biological father. And I'm not saying that Hansel didn't have a relationship with his father, because he did have a relationship with his father. So that's kind of one of the blessings, that Hansel's at least with someone he knows. It's the act of a desperate man. And at its core, if you're a father and you were at the risk of, one, going to jail and then possibly being deported back to Mexico where you could never come back to America and see your son, I don't think there's a father or mother out there that wouldn't at least have that thought crossed their mind. Right? It's just sad because, one, the legal issues could have been taken care of. If he wanted to have a conversation about getting Hansel more, we could have went through the legal channels to discuss that and find some kind of accommodation that worked for both parties. Because one thing that we don't believe in is separating children from their parents, because both parents are important in a child's life. And it's fundamental that a child knows the support that they have. Growing up, my parents had their issues. We were with my mom for a little bit, and then, you know, times were hard on her. She had a little bit of a substance issue. She's much better now. God bless her. She's been clean for years. On the other hand, my father, a disabled veteran of Vietnam, was I would like to say put in a medical coma most of the time due to the pills the VA gave him. Even in that, I don't believe it would be right to remove either one of those parents from the child's life. That said, there are some very toxic situations that are dangerous for children, but that's a whole other story. The thing we worry about with Felipe, if he does have a temper, he is a drinker. He's had multiple domestic violence cases against him. not only from my girlfriend, but his previous girlfriend as well. The fact that he uses an alias and a social security number that's not his to work here in the U.S. says a lot. Again, I don't disparage anybody for coming to this country however they get here. This is the land of opportunity. My father immigrated to this country in the 50s with the rest of my family on his side. So I encourage people to come to this country, come make a better life for yourself. But that's the key, is to make a better life for yourself and make sure you're following the laws of the land and being productive. And that said, I'm not saying people can't have a second chance or a new beginning. It's just about the process you go about it. Conversations are easier to be had when there's, you know, reason and no animosity. But then again, we're dealing with an individual that, like you said, is kind of backed into a corner like a caged animal. So like I kind of said, I kind of empathize and sympathize with him as a father. On the other hand, I'm Hansel's dad too. And I've always been raised, once they come into your life, they're yours. And once they're yours, they're yours. So it's a difficult situation.
Very difficult. And I know you can't say much. You can't confirm or deny you have snipers in place somewhere in Mexico. I know you can't disclose that information right now. I probably shouldn't even say it online, but...
I wouldn't say snipers. I wouldn't say snipers, but there are eyes.
Yes, that's what I meant, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not implying any weapons involved, but you have people looking ready to do what they have to do to bring Hansel home. I want to thank you for coming out tonight, sharing your story. Please let us know any more updates. I'd love to have you on again. Everybody here that's listening, we've been following this story for months now. I remember when I first had you on the show, we had our guest Sonia. She was our host, Sonia. She was crying. And she's hearing the story. She's a mother herself. And it's just very powerful to hear that things are turning around positively. And you're doing it by the book. You're not taking law in your own
hands. That's the hardest part. That's the hardest part of it. Because we have to play by the rules. We have to play by the rules. Because if we don't play by the rules, we can get Hansel back. But then they're going to go, you didn't play by the rules. And then they're just going to take him from us. So we have to make sure that we're diligent. We do it right. I ask, no matter what faith you come from, if you can send prayers of bringing Hansel home, I don't care who you pray to. I just ask that you send your well wishes and prayers to us. Not so much to me, but to Hansel and his mom, because they're the ones that are feeling it the most. I'm a soldier. I know how to carry on. I know how to push through the mission until the mission's over. But we're talking about two regular people here, two innocent people that rather not be in this situation, but unfortunately are in it. So please send, you know, wishes of return, wishes of health, wishes of peace. That way they can get through this.
Will do, boss. We have plenty of people listening here. We got people listening from Canada. We have people listening from Florida. We have people listening from Washington. We have people all over the world, and I hope we have someone in Mexico listening so that they can pray for Hansel's safe return. We're a little pressed on the clock right now, Mike, so I want to thank you again for coming on, sharing your story, and I can't wait to hear any updates from the situation. I want to see Hansel home just as bad as anybody else.
Definitely.
You're a favorite referee, man.
Yeah. before we let you go, can you give us a shout-out to anywhere where people can find you on social media so they can follow you, so they can track this story themselves as it develops? I know you're all over the place. If you want to just plug yourself real quick, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok and Instagram, the number 3PLEM84. You'll get the link to my Facebook. Unfortunately, I could say Mike Martinez, but there's 1.5 million of us out there in the world. Also, if you guys have a chance, go on YouTube, go to Nina Child's production. In mid-December, our show, The Killer Christmas Party will be on her YouTube page. It's my first short film I'm in. Kelly Perrin is the star of the movie. If you don't know who Kelly Perrin is, man, you need to go back and watch some old Disney Channel stuff. because he was the guy to watch back in the day when we were kids coming up. It was just an honor to be a part of a film project. And it's coming out, like I said, mid-December. Check out Nina Child Productions on YouTube.
Awesome. Will do. Thank you again, Mike. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, all right, brother. We'll see you soon. Hey, you stay chill, Robbie.
You too, my brother.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this very special edition of United Wrestling Council Radio here on Block Talk Radio. I've been your host, Lance Winters, with my co-host, Robbie Phoenix. Robbie Phoenix, any last words for the fans before we get out of here?
Just keep listening for us. Keep listening to this radio show. We're going to try to bring you some more guests and try to have some more fun with you all. So just keep listening.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, Sonya Bot 3000, take us out of here.